All right, I'm gonna do what I've been doing and just like start with a moment for all of us to pray. I need, you know, racing from the play that ran long. I need a moment to like, which theoretically should be worship, but let's just have a moment of quiet and asking the Lord. You know, the last time I preached, we talked about the spirit of wisdom and revelation, right? To that we may know God better. And that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope of our calling and the riches of his glorious inheritance and the incomparably great power for us who believe, right? And this is just like, that prayer to me has just been sticking, right? We need to pray this prayer. So, I don't know, can we just have a moment of asking God to give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and enlighten the eyes of our hearts to see all the goodness? Lord, I do pray that you would enlighten the eyes of our hearts, that we would see new things in your light, and we would see things that we've seen before, but see them in new ways, and that you would inspire us with hope and wisdom, and yeah, just a real conviction, like internal conviction of everything you are in us and everything we are in you. Thanks, Lord. All right, so we're in Ephesians 2, starting in verse 11. It starts with therefore. So just to, Jen, do you want to summarize what you said last week? And then basically it's like the previous passage is about being made alive by grace. I think is maybe a way of summarizing that there was like this other kind of life. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands, which point of interest I learned in studying for this, that I think about like done by human hands was like a way that Jewish writers referred to pagan idols, like made by human hands. So like, there's a real overtone that presents circumcision, this like major thing, in not the greatest light. Like Paul's really kind of poking people here, right? So you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he has put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Cool stuff. So I'm just going to write these up later rather than take the time. I want to keep our list going of like, what are the spiritual blessings that we discover as we go through this book, and like, what is our inheritance? I was going to do this ahead of time, but we got here late, so I'll do it afterwards. But just to give you a list, and I'm going to include last week because I want to include last week's. Last week had love. That's nice. That might be up there. Mercy, life with Christ, grace, probably up there. Yeah, grace is the first one. And salvation. So those are, you know, probably standard, like, faith things. Though life with Christ is cool. This week we have peace. He himself is our peace. We have freedom from law. We have being part of a new humanity. We have being reconciled to God. We have access to the Father. Access. And the fact that we are citizens of God's kingdom and members of his household. Paul, like, mixes a whole lot of, this is like a thing Paul does. He likes to mix metaphors. We get citizens of the kingdom, members of the household, and then like part of a building. We're like, he's like, we'll just give you a few metaphors. Just throw them out there. But those, that's, yeah. And I just want to say, if there's things on this, like, I'm not trying to make a list just for the sake of making a list, but if, as you look at this list, and there's things on there that are, like, hard for you to, like, absorb and, like, own as, like, real for yourself, I'd encourage you to note that and maybe take some time to meditate on them, right? These are things that God is showing us, and he's saying we want to have a spirit of wisdom and revelation to, like, know him better and know the inheritance, the riches of our inheritance. And so if we don't know that, that's a bummer. Like, we're missing out. So I know it's an ugly list. I want to make it look nicer, but, like, don't just, even if it's ugly, it's still got good stuff on there. So, you know, anyway. So this is like a dense passage. There's a lot of stuff I could talk about in here. A lot of stuff I happen to find really interesting. Like there's this circumcision, uncircumcision thing, right? And so, like, background, many of you have probably heard this, that there was this prayer that Jewish men used to pray, like, every day, where they thanked God that they were not born a Gentile, a slave, or a woman. This is like, thank you, God. And I just find it so fascinating. So here we get this sense, he doesn't overtly say it, but we get the sense of what Paul elsewhere calls spiritual circumcision, right? It's like not the kind done in the body by human hands. He's like, what we're into now is a spiritual version of this. And if you think about it, that's available to everybody, right? Previously, only Jewish men actually carried the sign of the covenant in their bodies. Right? So there's this hierarchy established. But when that gets thrown out and it's a spiritual thing, not only does it eliminate the religious hierarchy between Jews and Gentiles, but it also eliminates the hierarchy between men and women. Like, they're not second class anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, that's kind of cool. Yeah? I could talk about that. I could talk about peace. How, like, he is our peace. How, like, clearly this teaches that conflict isn't resolved, like, actually resolved through human means, right? So, like, military isn't gonna, it's not gonna bring peace. It's just not gonna work because Jesus is our peace. And he's someone who models self-sacrificial love, and how, like, we're not gonna find peace if we're trying to achieve it in ways that are, like, anti-Christ, right? Self-seeking instead of self-sacrificial. I could talk about how this passage shows just how deeply important racial unity is in the church. I could even read some N.T. Wright. He says, if our churches are still divided in any way along racial or cultural lines, Paul would say that our gospel, our very grasp of the meaning of Jesus' death, is called into question. I could talk about that a lot, probably, about how, like, if we want to address racial issues in a Christ-like way, that those of us who have historically had the power should humble ourselves and become servants, because that's what Jesus did when he had all the power. He humbled himself and became a servant. I could talk about that. You see how I get to say a little bit of everything I want to say? I could also talk about how, since God wants us to be citizens of one divine kingdom, the idea that we have to, like, protect our own, or, like, that one nation is, like, more important than others, or that we have some kind of stake in how our human nation is functioning, or, like, guarding our human borders because this is our nation, is, like, completely missing the point of waiting for a city with foundations that God is building. Like Abraham in Hebrews 11, it says if he'd wanted a human city, he could have gone back to one, but he was waiting for a city with foundations, and that was his faith, was not investing in an earthly kingdom, instead being invested in a heaven. Heavenly one. Oh, I could talk about that. all that stuff is like part of this new humanity, right? It's like, it's a humanity that is completely different from the normal one, because it exists in Christ, one new humanity in Christ. And so if it's a humanity that exists in Christ, it brings that supernatural heavenly value system into this physical realm. And it's different. It's really, really different. I could talk about all that stuff, and you all know me well enough. I'd really like to talk about it enough that I couldn't not say something about it. Because it's there, guys. That's not just my personal things. That's there. But I hear God saying, you've been brought near. You've been brought near. That's what we're going to talk about. So what's that about? There's this image given in this passage related to the temple. So you probably know basic outline of the temple. In the center, there's the Holy of Holies, right? And it's like only the high priest goes in there once a year on Day of Atonement, lots of sacrifices. You may have heard that he wore bells and had a rope around his ankle to drag him out in case he died. That's a myth. No evidence of that, just FYI. Didn't ever get reported to the Middle Ages. So that's not true. Nevertheless, there was a lot of fear and trembling around the Holy of Holies, right? One guy once a year, lots of sacrifices. Watch out, yeah? Outside of that is like the court of the priests, the holy place. The priests could go there, do their stuff, yeah? Outside of that is the court of Jewish men, only the men. Outside of that is the court of the women. And on the very outside, there's the court of the Gentiles. And there's a barrier. There's a literal physical barrier. And there were signs up. We know they've actually found a literal existent sign that was hung on that barrier that basically said, if you come in here, like, your blood's on your own head. And I don't know if it implies that God will strike you down or we will stone you, maybe either or. But it was a dividing wall of hostility, right? Like, don't you come in here, you're gonna die. You don't come in here. Paul was rather familiar with that wall because it's what got him arrested. He got accused of bringing a Gentile into the court of the Jews. That's why everybody went into an uproar. Sometimes I wonder if he actually did. I was trying to read through. I didn't read super, super carefully, but my quick reading, he never explicitly says he didn't do it. He says they can't prove it. Anyway, sometimes I wonder if he's like, oh. But he knows about this barrier, right? It's why he's in jail. And it's been destroyed in Christ, right? What it represents has been destroyed. The Gentiles have been brought near. There's nothing separating Jews and Gentiles anymore. It's like God's saying, like, there's nothing keeping you out. Like, you're all on equal footing. You're all welcome. But I don't think that's the end, actually. Like, I don't think that's good enough for God. Because God doesn't actually live in temples made by human hands, right? Paul says that in Acts 17, and now it has me wondering about, like, the overtones of human hands and the temple. Ugh. But it's like God's actually working on building a living temple where he can actually dwell. This ends talking about, like, you're being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit, right? He's working on a living temple. And so I don't think that just, like, better participation in a religious system is his goal for Gentiles. Like, I don't think his goal is access to more of a building. Like, that's a shadow. That whole building is a shadow. In fact, in the previous section that Jen preached on, Paul says, previously all of us followed the flesh and lived under the influence of the ruler of the power of the air. All of us, not just the Gentiles. It's like Jews had this religious system, but apparently Satan was affecting them just as much as the Gentiles. Paul's like, we had the temple, but that didn't do anything. That didn't mean anything. We're living, all of us, according to the ruler of the power of the air. And maybe they thought they had it right, but But they were in many ways just as far from God, like regardless of what court they could be in, right? That didn't mean how close they were to God. They were in just as much need of salvation. So I don't think that getting into the inner court is like, yes, God's like, done. Like, but that's not the goal. But that's not the only wall that came down, right? In fact, that one didn't physically fall, but another one did, right? Like when Jesus died, the curtain separating everything else from the Holy of Holies was torn in half. Like, we're not talking just division of Jews and Gentile. We're talking about division of people from God, or at least what that curtain represented. And so I just feel like God is saying, like, coming near isn't, it's not, that's not enough. That's not close enough. Not when the temple is defining what near is. Like, man, let's just tear the whole thing down. Like, it's open for everybody. God is like, I am open for everybody. Like, come, don't just come near, come in. Come in, come so near. And so we're all brought into where the presence of God is. We all have access, it says, access to the Father. But not just in the temple, right? That's the shadow. The temple was the shadow. It's not like we're all just elevated to the status of the high priest on the Day of Atonement, where we have, you know, we have a little bit of access with lots of sacrifices and some fear and trembling, like, this is how close I can get to God. It's not like, we're not elevated to the status of the high priest. That's not the goal. It's not even about the building. We're brought into him. Hebrews 9 says, for Christ did not enter a sanctuary made with human hands, that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself, now to appear for us in God's presence. It's like Jesus entered the true Holy of Holies, the immediate, ultimate, real presence of God, and we are in him. That's where we live. Paul says in Colossians 3 that our life is hidden with Christ in God. That's where we live. Come in. Come, just tear it down. Come in. It's like I just got this feeling like God just can't get close enough to us. He just like can't get close enough to us. Like John 17, when Jesus is praying for us, he's praying for the people who would believe because of the apostles' testimony, right? So that's us. He prays that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. That's like some next level unity. And then he says, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Like, this is his desire, right? That we would have a unity with God that mirrors God's unity within God's self. Yeah. Like in him. It's like, come closer. Come in. I can't get close enough. Like, live in me. Like, didn't Jesus say that? Abide in me? Like, live in, like, in, come in. And I just kept thinking, like, man, he just can't live without us. Like, okay, clearly, literally, he can, but, like, he's, like, desperate for us. He just wants us. He wants us just, like, closer and closer all the time. It's, like, I think he calls us to worship not because he's, like, needy and insecure, but because it gets us really close to him, you know? It's, like, we focus on that. I just kept thinking about all the images of him, like, calling for us. Like, come here. Like, Jesus is talking about wanting to gather people together like a hen gathers chicks under her wings. Have you ever seen pictures? Have you looked it up? There are pictures of chickens with hens, with, like, chicks underneath them. You can't even see them. They're, like, just subsumed by all the feathers. They're just, like, all buried up in there. Just, like, come in. Like, Hosea 7, he says, I long to redeem them. I long to. Isaiah 65, it says, I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. To a nation that did not call on my name, I said, here am I. Or, like, maybe less Bible talk, like, here I am. Like, all day long, it says, I have held out my hands to an obstinate people. Like, I want you, and I want you, and I want you. Like, you don't want me, but I want you. And, like, you don't even know me, but I want you too. It's like, I just want everybody. I want everybody in. Like, come on, come in. Oh, he just wants everybody. He just wants everybody near, like, but more than just near. Right? He just wants us in. that's really kind of all I have to say. I just thought maybe we could pray like for a couple things. One would be like revelation of how much he wants us. Like he's like tearing down his own religious system to get us closer. He's like, just tear it down. Like Holy of Holies, presence of God, open. Come on in, everybody come in. And maybe we can just ask for revelation of like what it's like to be in him like that. Like when we're at home in him, when we're living in him, like I think there's like joy and peace and like power and purity. And when I say purity, I mean like a relief kind, not like a shame kind, right? Just like, oh, free that. Like there's just utter acceptance. Like what is it like in him? Just like all nestled up inside. And I wonder if too we could pray just for a broken heart. Jesus in that prayer in John 17, he prays that we'd be in God so that the world may believe that God sent him. It's like God wants everybody, he just wants everybody. And he wants our unity with him to help call other people in. It's like our unity with him should make a difference like outside of ourselves. Yeah. And so I wonder if we could pray for a broken heart for those who don't know Jesus to be welcomed in. I'll be honest, sometimes it's hard for me to like think about how people need God. Like sometimes it's like easier for me to just figure I'll let his grace sort it out. Like sometimes, I just be honest, sometimes it's like the urgency of bringing people into the kingdom doesn't click for me. It's like, I just trust him, he'll sort it out. He knows what to do. So if that is you ever, and it's hard to feel a broken heart for people, I had this other thought about what if I think about him and his broken heart? It's like how much he wants us. And how his heart just hurts because he longs for people who don't know him. It's like he created all these people and loves them with this love that we can't imagine. And all he wants is to be able to pour it out on them, for them to just come in. He's just like, come in, I love you so much, I want you in. Come in. And they don't know him and they don't hear him. They don't want him. They think they've found something better, or that the idea of God is like dumb or controlling or even something vile, right? It's like, think about God's broken heart. Like the greatest love in the universe is unrequited. That must hurt. I think he misses people. For me, that's like a different motivation. They're both good. We should have a broken heart for people, but I also feel like I don't want God to like have this unrequited love for people. Like that's really sad to me. It also is, I think, sometimes I think about that and then it makes me also think about how he might feel like that toward me when I don't live in the reality of my unity with him. Right? That like he misses me too. Like when I forget that I'm in him. I think he misses us too, because he wants us close. He loves us a lot. He just wants us in him, and we just forget. I was thinking about that song, the third verse is Jesus in everything is beckoning. It's on our old CD if you haven't heard it. But I was thinking about like he in everything. He's just like, come in. He's just calling to us, like, come in. Come near, like you've been brought near, like you've been brought in. Like that's like all he wants. Not all he wants, but it's a lot of what he wants. He's not like holding out on us until we get it together. He just wants us in. He's like, get in, come in. And it's just a question of whether we remember to live that way, because it's true, right? The curtain is torn. The temple thing is done. The law with its commands and regulations were abolished in Jesus' flesh. We've been brought into Christ himself. I just think sometimes we just forget. I do. I was thinking, like, this is a lame analogy, I know, guys, but, like, if you're on a vacation on, like, a tropical island, but your house like had really nice curtains that you closed at night or whatever, because you would, you know, and you get up and the curtains are closed and you just like forget where you are. You know, you don't go out and enjoy the beach because you just forget that you're on a tropical island. You're like coconuts and stuff out there, and you're just like sitting there, like, you know, scrolling through Netflix or whatever. It's like you forget that it's no different from home, but you're there. Like, you're there. Everything, all the goodness of the tropical island is there. You just need to remember, like, open the curtains, like, remember where you are. I want to remember that I'm, like, in Christ. I've been brought near. We have been brought not just near, we've been brought in. That's where we are. That's where we live. I think when we remember that, I think things start to change in how we live out the rest of our lives. It's like all those new humanity things that I wanted to talk about, I think all that starts to become possible, right? But this is first. Come in. Just come in. Come in. And then just remember. So can we just, can we just take a couple minutes and like ask for the Spirit to help us remember and give us a taste of what it's like to remember that, so that we just like, ooh, I tasted that and it was good. I want more of that. And then we can talk about any of that. But let's just take a couple minutes.